My name is Rudy Edmond, and I want to describe for you something of the forests of the Holden Lake area. And I am a geologist. I am not an expert on trees, but having lived in this area for some time, I want to just make some comments about the forests of this particular area. One of the things that you observe is that a very large part of the forest area and the set of slides that I'm going to show you comes from the Carolina Natural History Series and points out the fact that 35% of the world's forests are dominated by conifers. In this western United States, including Alaska, close to one-third of the land area is covered by conifer forests. Now, by conifer forests, we mean trees that bear cones. And the most common ones, of course, of these are the gymnosperms, which are called the pine trees, and, of course, the related species of fir and spruce, and other species that relate to those which carry the cones of the conifers, and these are the common trees that you find in this particular area. You notice on the slide before you here the fact that very high density of cones are present, and some years I have observed that there are many cones, and other years the cones are relatively few. Nature has a way of providing the number of cones that seem to be necessary to generate the new plants or the new trees that are needed to fill in for the ones that will die in a particular area, and also the relationship to the seasons. Some seasons seem to have a greater abundance of cones than others, and why this is true is difficult to discern, but it is true that they do vary in the number of cones that they produce. The cone-bearing trees are called gymnosperms. They do not have flowers with ovularies surrounding the seeds as in the angiosperms. Instead, their seeds are borne on scales arranged into cones. And as you observe, as you enter the forest of the Holden area, or any pine forest or gymnosperm forest, there is a year-round shade. The the needles are not shed. And so during the summer as well as during the winter, the floor of the forest is pretty much covered with shade, and this controls the amount of undergrowth that is present in any particular area. As you look at other areas, such as in this case the Sierra Nevada area, where you see the rocks are very barren, and only in places where enough soil could accumulate do you find trees. And in part, this is also true in the Holden area, and some places which have been swept very clean by the ice that moved down these canyons has left limited areas where trees can grow. But wherever there is a depression and soil and moisture could accumulate, we find these conifer trees present. One of the things that is characteristic is the soil that develops where these trees are, and that is a great accumulation of pine needles and pine cones and things which provide a rather acid kind of soil and not a rich, fertile soil that we're associating with many other areas. The soil becomes relatively poor because it is acid bearing and is limited in the number of small worms and animals that it can support. For example, earthworms just normally do not live in this kind of an environment. What we see, rather, is various kinds of fungi, which are especially important in pine forests and coniferous forests. And these feed on the kinds of food that are provided by the needles as they accumulate on the ground. When we look at the forest in a larger perspective, we see that there's a very large number of trees which range from pine to spruce to fir and various kinds of trees that grow in a very dense manner. And we see some of this in the Holden area where the forests are populated by these kinds of trees. And in the mountain areas, this is typical of the kinds of trees that you find. And in some cases, you'll find them intermingled with deciduous trees. The deciduous trees are the trees which lose their leaves during the winter, and the common kinds of these are the aspen and the birch and the alder, and we find these interspersed with the conifer forest within the Holden area and the canyons that lie in the mountains of the Northern Cascades. A common animal in the conifer forest is the moose, but in the Holden area there are no moose, and the main reason for this is that the winters are so severe in the canyons of the Northern Cascades that the moose cannot find enough food to survive on during the winter and summer months. So the moose do not occupy this particular area, and the elk likewise do not find it a comfortable place to live. And so the only animals that we find in our conifer forests here in the Holden area are the deer. And of course there are many deer and also bear and various kinds of cougar and bobcats, but not very many of the big animals can survive where the snowfall is as great as it is in these upper Cascade Mountains. Common in the area are the pine squirrels and various kinds of ground squirrels and chipmunks and small animals that do survive in the forest area, even where the larger mammals cannot seem to find a comfortable place to live. So we find many small animals, but relatively few of the large mammals are present in this particular area. Birds vary in their ability to live in this kind of an environment. The picture shown here is one of a gray jay, but we have mainly in this area the blue jay and not the gray jay. And the blue jay in the area are relatively sparse in their number, but we do find them in the Holden area and in the upper part of the Railroad Creek Cascade Canyon environment. This picture shows the kind of foothill forest that you find in many of the mountain areas where the altitude is high. In the Rockies, we find pines and junipers, and a very few of these are found in the northern Cascades, mainly because of the rainfall conditions and the rock conditions in the area. High altitude forests are a common kind of tree that you find here, and in the high altitudes we have a greater amount of precipitation that falls on the mountain upper slopes, and here the slopes such as produce a large stand of Douglas fir are very common in the areas up surrounding the high lakes, such as at Holden Lake, for example. There is a very prominent stand of Douglas fir. Also some spruce and other kinds of fir besides the Douglas fir. The Engelmann spruce and so on are trees that you find in this upper area. At the high altitudes in the northern Cascades and in other mountains of the northern latitudes, the bitter temperatures and the brutal winds and the short growing season stop the conifer forest from growing to any great extent, and you find very stunted and deformed forms of the trees into dwarf forests, which are sometimes typical of the high areas in the Cascade Mountains and the Rocky Mountains, which lie to the east of us. When you think of pine forests, one of the things you think about is the pine forests of the southern states. So when you get down to Texas and Arizona and the states along the Gulf Coast area, here we find a very prominent stand of pine forests, which have a very different kind of environment from what we find in the mountain areas here bordering Canada and up into the northern Cascades. One of the things that's important in the pine forest is the ability of the trees to withstand the natural forest fires. Lightning sets fire in these areas, and the lightning often causes a fire to sweep through the forest. The bark on these trees is one of the things that helps preserve them, and the pine's thick bark resists the flames. It also tends to kill off the kinds of bugs and worms and parasites that tend to kill the trees, and so it's a kind of control that nature has installed in the area. By natural causes, fires are produced by lightning, and the trees tend to survive. And as they do, they come back because they have this thick bark. Temporary pine forests are shown here And we do not see so much of this kind of an environment within the Northern Cascades. But as we get into the mountain area in general, you see where the vegetation and the moisture is relatively scarce. You can see sparse accumulations of trees. When we go from here to the Pacific coast, the Pacific Northwest rainforest is a very common kind of thing that we're all familiar with as we come to the Holden Village area. In this area, you find along the coast a very high amount of precipitation, and this promotes the development of a very dense forest with giant specimens of Douglas fir and hemlock and cedar and redwood, of course, as you approach the Pacific coast area. We do not have any redwood in this area, but we have some very large and beautiful cedar trees that are a common part of the forest environment here in this particular area of the Northern Cascades. As we go toward the Pacific coast, we see a very heavy undergrowth. And this is because of the very high amount of rain that comes into the area, and a rich undergrowth of mosses and ferns and shrubs and small trees. And the other plants, it makes it available to survive because of really the abundant moisture. The soil becomes relatively acid and poor in quality, but the abundance of water and the warmth of the area makes it possible for a large part of the area to produce important undergrowth. One of the important things of the Pacific Northwest is that the forest is a very important natural resource. It's a resource that continues to grow year after year, and so we refer to it as a flow resource. And if we do not cut too many trees and replant as we cut, then there is a continuing flow of growth of the forests in this area, and a very productive kind of resource that becomes available for outdoor recreation, for building of buildings made out of wood, and all kinds of wood products. And here we see in this slide one of the important things of the Pacific Northwest, and that is the availability of timber. And timber here is one of the major industries of the Pacific Northwest. Now, as we go to the areas farther north, we approach a different alpine climate. And as we approach this, we come to the area which we refer to as an alpine tundra, a tundra kind of an environment. It's basically a treeless environment, and the alpine tundra, which is in the very high mountains where the climate is very bitter and cold and the growing season is very short, we find very unstable soil and severe winds. And in this case, we see quite a different environment from what we have at the Holden Village area for the most part. Now, in this picture, you see something of the vestiges of the previous ice age. So as we go north, we find the tundra where very few trees can exist, and actually we find a system of plants here which are very small and survive only because they can withstand a very short growing season. And as we look at the area, we can see that the plants and flowers that come out, they have very short stems, very big flowers, and they take maximum advantage of the energy of the sunlight because the soil is very, very sparse, the growing season is very short, and the roots become a very important part of the system as they burrow into the rocks and maintain their foothold. In the true mountain area where you see almost no trees and the altitude is high and it's cool and the moisture tends to drop down, and the alpine areas receive a great deal of rain and snow, which then is mainly shed off into the watersheds, which are down below. In the high altitude, here you see no trees, but the steep rocky slopes, which are wind swept, where the moisture does fall, but it tends not to stay very long, and it moves down to the lower areas which support the forests at a lower elevation, and finally the plants and so on that are associated with these areas. Now in the moist areas, these areas most like the Arctic tundra, are the moist, low-lying sections that collect runoff from rain and melting snow. Here, the willows and the mosses and other moisture-loving species live in the dark, wet soil of the tundra area and the high altitude. We do not have an area that corresponds in the Teta or in the Cascade area to the picture that is shown here. This is truly an alpine environment in the tundra area where there are no trees and where only very, very short grasses and sedges and small flowering species grow. This growing season in the high altitudes is relatively short. The season in the alpine tundra may last for only 8 to 10 weeks, so that plants that come up and grow and produce their seeds and so on must mature within that span of 8 to 10 weeks. And this is a very hostile kind of environment. It takes 15 years for some alpine perennials to come to a point where they will produce flowers. And this is a very limiting factor in the area. The protective snow cover. Most of the perennials live in an area where the ground is covered in the winter by snow and the roots are protected and the bulbs manage to live through to the following summer. There is a general adaptation to a short growing season. Many tundra plants can carry on photosynthesis at a lower temperature than lowland species and can grow and absorb nutrients at just about the 0 degree centigrade temperature. Their foliage is often dark green and absorbs a maximum amount of the sun's warmth. One of the things that's most common in this upper area is that when you see flowers, the flower seems to be a very dominant part of the plant. And because it's exposed for a short period of time, it is necessary in the reproduction of the plant for the flower to be very large, collect a large amount of energy, produce its seeds, and then it dries up to be productive in the following season when the sun comes back and the season grows more favorable for the plant. Various kinds of flowers in this very hostile area will develop ways of protecting themselves from the wind, and they will conserve heat and moisture. The hairs that you see on this particular flower offer some protection from the ultraviolet light, and this allows the plant to survive within a very hostile environment. The plants that grow in the area are the heather and the moss and various kinds of plants. Many of these we see around some of the high altitude lakes, such as at Holden Lake. We see similar kinds of vegetation to this, and because there's only a very short growing season, the plants survive, and they're very colorful during the summer season. One of the plants that tends to survive in a very hostile climate is the lichen. And here you see a good example of the lichen as it appears through the snow in this photo. And this provides food for some of the important animals of the area. In the extreme far north, the reindeer and various kinds of animals that live on lichens, you see, count this as one of their basic foods. And these materials grow on the rock, and they are very, very hardy, and they withstand the adversity of this very high altitude climate. In the area of the high altitude snowfields, one of the things that you find is the pink snow. And up around the tree limits, where the glaciers and the snowfields are present, there you find colored pink algae living in the meltwater. And here you see in the immediate foreground of this picture a pinkish snow that shows this kind of growth right at the surface of the snow and ice that persists at this high altitude location. We find this in certain areas within the Northern Cascades, and it is not very common, but on occasion we do see this in various areas. Now, some of the kinds of animals that can survive within this area and birds are the white-tailed ptarmigans, and the white-tailed ptarmigan is the only bird and the one of the few animals that remain above tree limits. And these are not common within the Northern Cascades area, but as you go north, to the extreme north part of the Northern Cascade, these birds do show up. And for greater warmth, they They keep their feathers very close to their body and legs, and their feet are feathered right down to the very ends of the toenails of the feet themselves, and they're around the nostril. You see, the whole body is really covered with feathers that keep them warm. An animal that we do find very common in the northern Cascades is the pika. And the pika is a very small animal that lives in the very rocky areas of around Heart Lake and Holden Lake. And the pika is found really throughout the northern Cascades, and it survives by gathering material during the summer months while this growing season is on, and it stores up plants for the season that lies ahead, which is very barren. These are also called the conies. And these conies look very much like little rabbits, but the little rabbit-like coney pikas are common in the very rocky areas of the upper Cascade Mountains, and if you watch for them, you will see them along Heart Lake and also around Holden Lake up in the upper mountain areas. The yellow-bellied marmot is a common animal within the northern Cascades area. Oftentimes up in the Holden Lake area, these animals are very prominent, and as you stop to have a picnic up at the Holden Lake area, oftentimes these yellow-bellied marmots will come within sight and also come often very close to you. The characteristic thing you will recall about them is the fact that they have a whistle, and they have a very shrill whistle. And the marmot whistle is very characteristic, and it's the only animal in the area that looks anything like a groundhog and that you might know from the Midwest, but this one will whistle at you, and if you answer it back, oftentimes you can get a response from the marmot. The mountain goats are a common animal in the northern Cascade Mountains. Occasionally we have the good fortune to see them down along Lake Chelan, and as we move up higher into the mountains, they are most common in the Dumbbell area up above Heart Lake, and in order to see these, you very often have to go way back into the mountains in order to get sight of these particular animals. They live in the forest in a very protected area, and they are very, very hardy and survive in a very severe climate. In the summertime, they come down to the lower levels, but in the wintertime, they pretty much stick to the high altitudes of the northern Cascades and other mountains. In terms of looking at the environment at the upper levels, when you get into the high altitudes, this picture calls to attention the fact that the environment here is extremely fragile, and that the plants that grow in this area take a long time to develop. And as the picture shows, in the foreground you see tents and campsites, and it's very important that one tread very lightly over these particular areas because of the fragile nature of the plants in the area. and the plants supply the animals of the area. So if we want to keep this kind of an environment sustainable to plants and animals in the future, it's very important in observing good camping practices where we do not trample any more of the vegetation than is absolutely necessary in order to visit the area and see something of the environment that is present at the very high altitudes in the high Cascade Mountains and the mountains of this particular area. Now this concludes a presentation of animals and plants that are present in the forested area and also in the very high alpine areas of the Cascade Mountains. And I thank you for your attention, and this will conclude the presentation of this particular slide series. Thank you.